Welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a good day. Another beautiful day outside.
Very nice.
Steen here.
Scott here.
Scotty sitting across from me. Good to have you back, my friend.
Good to be here.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Get ready for this. You can check us out on X.
It's not X. It's still Twitter.
X. It sounds cooler.
No, it doesn't.
I like X. He's at Scott Brower underscore 13. I am at Steen on Sports at Happy Hour underscore SS. And
thank you, sir.
Better.
Yep.
And we are at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins did what they were supposed to do last night. Beat the Guardians, up 7 games, just exactly what they needed to do. They need to do it again tonight. That is a 6 o'clock pregame as well. And then the next thing up is Thursday, huge game in college football. Florida, Utah.
Yeah.
That's a big-time game.
Going to hit the ground running here, bud.
That is a big-time game. And then we have the Twins and the Texas Rangers. They're in Texas, and it's a good time to meet up with the Texas Rangers who have lost. I mean, what did they have last night? They are 2-8 in their last 10. So maybe not a bad time, but you never know. And then next Monday, Tuesday, they are in Tampa Bay. That's going to be interesting because not a lot of good weather happening down in the Floridia area.
Yeah, and it could, definitely the Tampa area. It could affect that. It depends. They're trying to figure out if it's the, what is it, the panhandle, if it's going to be more of the
Gulf Coast.
What do they call it, the bend area, the hook area or whatever. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's dissipating. It sounds like it's building.
It's building and building quickly. All right, what else do we have? We want to thank Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Control, and Broadlawns Medical Center. You're going to have to help me out today because didn't bring everything in the bag today, so I don't have my stuff.
I have my stuff. Have my stuff. So
you're all good to go.
I will hold it over your head.
You could be a reading guy today. I'm in.
Same reads. We're good.
Okay, so what are your
talking points this week? Obviously, since we're going to have J.W. Cox, the voice of the UNI Panthers,
we'll
be on with us at 4:21. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk Panthers. We're going to talk Cyclones. Got some questions for him, definitely.
Roster, where they're at on their roster and kind of figuring out. It's a big game for them.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be interesting to talk to him because, I mean, it has more and more of a feel. I mean, obviously we have the connection with Ryan Clanton, who is the offensive line coach for Iowa State
now,
but had a 5-year history. I mean, the different things of what he – is supposed to be bringing and improving to Iowa State, but still you go through who they have for a quarterback at UNI. You go through, I mean, just listen to some of the press conferences with Mark Farley. This is a head scratcher. To me, this is going to come down to a field goal one way or the other on this game. It is because, I mean, there's so many, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling with, we can check this box, and this box up in Ames. There's a lot of good talent and a lot of great things up in Cedar Falls as well. I think this is going to be a game. And usually this early in the season,
this is what Mark
Farley does.
This is one of those, though, that I think the change in Iowa State coaching staff is going to make a difference. I really do. I think they're going to be better prepared. And the bad thing for you and I, you got no game film on anybody. Right. You have no idea in the world what they're going to run. Nothing. I mean, everything has changed. So for everybody else that Iowa State gets to play, this game matters because
exactly.
You see film. Because they're not going to run the same offense. They're not. Their quarterbacks are totally different. Just the simple fact that they're both right-handed instead of being left-handed totally changes everything that you do in an offensive game plan.
Right.
And for the first time ever to be able to say this, I don't know how talented they are, but we are big. Iowa State is big, both on offensive and defensive side of the ball, which is exciting.
Right. But I mean, you look at some pretty pivotal players for you and I as well. They're big boys.
Yeah, they are.
But I'm not looking at the line. I'm saying you've got a, what is it, 6'5 quarterback. You got a 6'4 running back. All these different. I mean, you've got some very marquee players that are big and athletic. But what's the experience on the O-line? What is, I mean, right. You can have talent back there, but if you don't make the holes for them, it gets to be a long day. I'm excited. It's going to be a good day.
The biggest thing,
because it's college football.
The biggest thing to say about these games, and you say it, and it's hard to do because I mean, I am a UNI Panther. It's hard to do this because when you look at and compare the programs, this should be an easy game. It wasn't an easy game for the Hawkeyes last year.
No.
It wasn't an easy game for the Iowa State Cyclones 2 years ago. So that's the exciting part.
The way I lean towards this game, this is going to come down to special teams mistakes or wins. I don't see at this point in time, because I haven't seen enough for me to go, oh, we're going to be fine. The O-line's just going to walk around wherever they want to do. We're going to get yards. We're going to get, if we need six, we get six. If we need four, we get four. If we need because of a penalty, we need a third and 14, no big deal, we're going to get it. I have no expectation of that.
If this would have been last year's UNI team, I would be far more concerned. I mean, that was a very deep, old team.
Yes.
This is a very good, young team.
Well, and that's one of, on my list of things, one of my first things I want to ask JW is, with your line, obviously Ryan Clanton went to Iowa State. O-line was huge. I mean, Penning?
Yep.
That went to I mean,
they've had a couple.
He was scary.
He
was literally scary. Made it to
rosters.
The NFL.
Yep.
But they also brought back Rick Nelson, who was with them, and it was the Ankeny coach. Now he's back doing what he did. I mean, it's not like they brought in a new guy that didn't know what he wasn't doing. But yeah. It's there are so many unknowns and variables in this game that I don't, there can't be quote unquote a line. But last time I heard it was Iowa State by 4.5 would be the line you throw out there. To me, getting closer to game time, I think it's 2.5.
Yeah, see, and I would say it's 8.5.
I love your optimism. Cyclone.
I trust what this coaching staff's going to do. I think the coaching staff was stale, and I think it finally Jamie went to Matt Campbell and goes, yeah, you got to do something. You can't not have a coach. You can't have a buddy and not be able to talk to him.
I agree with all that, but here's my deal. I've been down too many paths with expectation on teams, and it's flat. I still go back to the season when we were that Iowa State was over the top. As far as talent with expectations and
see you're going right into my wheelhouse here.
Okay,
there are no expectations. I like that.
I'm okay with that.
I think that is in our hip pocket. That all these kids have to do. The other kids thought they were really really good. These kids are going out to prove a point, because that's the last thing that Matt Campbell said. And a lot of these positions. These are fights all the way up to game time, and it's fights next week. And so you've got kids that are on the sidelines that want to get in there and play because they're that close.
It all goes back to when we have watched college football, whether it is Iowa, whether it's you and I, whether it's Iowa State or whatever, it's the importance of being able to maintain and manipulate the game through the offensive line and the defensive line. And if what they've changed. Because there was a pretty impressive line 3 years ago up in Ames, okay?
Small, but they played
but they had
really good people behind them, too.
Exactly. One man out, another one in.
No, I mean behind them on the offensive side of
yes,
the ball.
Yes, I agree.
That matters.
But,
I mean, having a great line is great, but they had that. So you go 3 years, that's Brock Purdy years. I mean, there are football 6, 7, 8. Eight people that are on football rosters right now from that
NFL
offense.
Rosters, yes.
And that was the high expectation year, and we didn't play very well.
No, but I mean, it's. We went through those years of hearing it's okay. Yes, we've got a stud front line, but we've also got angry guys behind them that want their time to play. Yeah. That's where I hope we get back to.
My thing that I am, especially because we're heading towards the Big 12 when we play them, is their defensive backfield. Is really good filled with players that aren't just really good. There are players that have a chance to make it in the NFL, and I think that helps them. But I agree with you. Nobody understands what's going to happen on your first game. Nobody understands how these – because here's the one thing I know. There's going to be 65,000 people up there, and they're going to be yelling and screaming and hollering and doing all that because we've been waiting a long time for football. So
right.
That's overwhelming to some people.
It is. I mean, that
so I hope that's not the part of it. But
no, but I mean, it's the fact that it is in Ames is a pretty big push for the Cyclones.
Absolutely,
I agree with that as well. I won't, nor will I ever short play Coach Mark Farley.
No,
he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's coming into, and he's going to hit it with both barrels as long as he can.
And he's going to coach his rear end off.
Yep.
He said that. That was his first quote. It wasn't the quote he wanted to give, but he used rear end, and that's what he does.
Yes.
He has been that way since he was 19 years old.
Right.
He's a good dude. And it's a tough thing. Here's the one thing I will tell you that I think is a certainty. What was the score of the UNI-Iowa game last year? 12-9, 12-11,
16-13 or something?
Yeah. This game's going to score more points than that. And that's the thing I think that we're not understanding is the one thing that we have that's constant. If we're looking at the Iowa State Cyclones, and we'll talk more in the next 2 days on this as well, we're worrying about the offense. John Heacock has another really, really good defense, and the difference between this defense this year compared to last year's defense, this is going to be a ball hawking, go at people defense all out all the time. And I think that's going to be it's what matters is can we run the football, kind of like our running back room. And I really like the offensive line because they're big for once, so they can move people, hopefully. And you have a year this year that I think both quarterbacks are going to play. And I think both quarterbacks are going to share snaps until somebody comes out on top. And I'm leaning towards J.J. Cole because if you read the tea leaves and what you hear coming out, he was not that close to, he's moving. Oh, this is down to today or tomorrow.
No.
To see who's going to get the start.
I think the talent the talent ceiling for J.J. Cole from everything that I've heard is it's just time, confidence, and he is going to be special.
And it's one of those. And
but I'm not going down the path of expectation.
No, but I've always said that if it's close, the NFL in college, in high school, if it's close and there's not a big difference, run with the young guy and see what you can do because he has no blinders on. Like a call comes in, he doesn't go, I don't like that call, you know. And not that Rocco had enough game time to have that. And I like our quarterback situation better this year than I did last year, just not knowing what Hunter Deckers was going to be like and Rocco being a true freshman last year. So interesting.
How big is J.J. Cole?
This
blew me away.
He's at least 6'5", 245.
6'7", 250 is what he's listed.
Yep. He's a big kid.
I'm trying to think. Next level quarterback.
He's Ben Roethlisberger, except for he's taller.
He's not quite as beefy as Ben. No. Right?
And I don't think Ben had his arm either, which is crazy. Here's the thing. I've seen some stuff on here that Matt Campbell's on the hot seat. There is absolutely zero chance that he's even remotely close to that. And the reason he's not ever going to be close to that unless he wants to be,
right,
is Jamie has a group of coaches that, and I know this irritates people from other places, it's not just about wins and losses.
Right.
I mean, they truly believe that it's not about wins and losses all the time. They believe that you have to be able to build a culture and you have to be able to do that to have it last. I love
the way the teeter totter goes up and down because what was it, 4 years ago? Well, he's got Ohio connections. He's the next Ohio State. He's going to leave here for bigger, better, all these different things. And
he doesn't fit in a big program.
But that's what people get out there.
It clicks. It clicks.
Well, and what does it seem to always be the how do I say this? The banter, if you will, yeah, out of when a coach becomes good in Ames. Oh, you know, he's not going to stick around. I mean, that's, I mean, really? You want to live your days out in Ames?
He's not going to
be a Cyclone?
And what is this? Is this his eighth year? Is this his seventh year or is it eighth year?
I don't know. Well, he hasn't been good for four. I mean, that's what you hear.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's we are putting the train on the tracks of college football and looking forward to this. Again, I'm super stoked to talk to JW.
And that's kind of what I'm looking at from JW is – I want to get what he's thinking for his. I want to hear what he's hearing about Iowa State. I think that's more interesting. That's always fun when you talk to the voice is, hey, I know what my team's going to do. This is what my vision is of what the other team's going to do. I enjoy that part of it.
But following on Twitter, you and I football or Coach Farley, stuff like that. It's just what he was talking about, wide receiver. Sam Schnee about, and it just, I love the way he is so, you just get wound up listening to Coach Farley, right? And it's like the speed of this guy on Saturday is the same, the wide receiver, Sam Schnee, is same on Tuesday. So what you see on that, I mean, it's just the expectation of seeing that player and to hear him so stoked about this one guy. And then he's going to talk about his quarterback, Theo, or he's going to talk about, you know, just the passion that he has about all his guys. I'm going to enjoy being an affiliate of UNI Panthers this year.
You know, the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend? Special teams.
We
have a coach!
I was going to say special teams. Coach!
At least we know there's one out there. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting, and the voice of the UNI Panthers. We'll be right back. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _ SS, and at Scott Brower _13. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. We have Minnesota Twins Guardians tonight. It's going to be a big game. The Twins got one last night. They need to get another one tonight to keep that, to move that to an 8-game lead. Looking forward to that. Our next guest, it is J.W. Cox. He is the Director of Broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers at his regular time on Tuesdays during football and men's and women's basketball. J.W., how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm standing outside the Shield here in Cedar Falls. We're giving away yard signs and say, hail our Panthers. It is game week, and it is palpable here in the Cedar Valley.
There was no Shields in Cedar Falls when I was going to school there. But that was 30 years
ago. There was a bar on the hill and an OP, right. I think, for
and
you, Steen.
That was it, my friends. That's awesome. That's really cool. Hey, so
it's a fun event.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's a fun event. Second year we've done it here, so it's good to see folks come out. Ready to splash the town with purple and gold a little bit.
That's awesome. A big game week for you and the UNI Panthers. Coach Mark Farley taking his UNI Panthers into Ames, into Jack Trice. What's the feeling around the football team as of this Tuesday?
Well, I think you could put it confident optimism, right? Like, you know, I mean, you go into a game against Iowa State, you go into any FBS, FCS game, first game of the year. Panthers, as people know, come to these games not just to show up and cash a check. They show up to compete, and as they've done three times under Coach Mark Farley, they show up to win. And this team is very experienced. This team is focused and ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to this all summer long, trying not to wish away the fun summer months, but I am so excited that game week is here, and I think this team is ready to go out there and put that experience to use and see what they can do on Saturday.
And you can tell that with interviews that I've seen and interviews that I've heard and kind of went and pulled up. Coach Farley, I mean, he's always going to be positive. He's always going to be optimistic. I mean, it just his voice sounded like, you know what? If I'm going to go, I think he thought the same thing when they went to Iowa City. If I'm going to go to Ames, a little bit younger team, I have an advantage because I have experience. Now, does that mean I'm going to win a football game? I don't know, but I think it gives us a really good chance, and I get where that optimism's coming from.
Yeah, and I think you got to use the word experience in the right context for this team, and I know I said it. There are guys on this team, on the defensive side specifically, the offense, outside of the offensive line, no problems. Guys that have been through it, been through a full season, and produced the way the offense did, over 400 yards a game last year. Defensively, there's some transfers mixed in at key pieces that have been in college football a long time, but maybe don't have the game experience that you would love to have to be fully 100% confident in what they can do. But these are older, more mature guys, and one big key factor that everybody around here, myself included, loves is Jeremiah Johnson coming back to help Coach Farley run that defense. The players absolutely love this guy, love to play for him. He was gone for just a year, so he knows most of the older guys. He recruited a lot of the guys that are here already, so it was just riding a bike to get him back in, talking to these guys, and get them ready to play the defense that Coach Farley and this program have been known for over the years. And I'm excited to see what they can do. And it's going to start up front, where I think a lot of people would agree, if you want to have one spot of experience on a defense that maybe is looking for guys that are going to have to prove themselves, you might as well have experience up front. And that's what the Panthers do with their four-man defensive front. A couple of guys in Devin Rice and Christian Boyd that are in their sixth fall with the Panthers and have played a lot of football. Cordarius Bailey was a Cyclone. He had a great season last year in his first year as a Panther. So up front, a lot of the experience comes to the fore, and I think that's a good place to start for everybody.
You're feeding right into my question here, JW. With the tangible that seems to be the talk in Central Iowa down here, is the big thing is Ryan Clanton. The fact that he was former with UNI, now he's down here. He is addressing a major problem that they had in Ames with the offensive line. You've got Rick Nelson back up with you guys for your offensive line. What is the comfort zone? Is it an issue? I know experience maybe isn't the biggest thing on the O-line, but is that an area of concern?
I think it's an area of question, like an area that needs to be proven. You go in with a guy like Jared Penning, who is on one side. He's going to play one tackle spot, and he has started 22 consecutive games now. So you have a little bit of experience. Chase Aarons is going to get his first chance to be the full-time center, but he's one of those guys, was voted as a captain that a Dyke New Hartford, grew up in Cedar Falls. He's been in this program now for a sixth fall, and he has that kind of football playing experience. They rally around Chase Aarons, a guy who hasn't played a lot of meaningful snaps, but now is going to be the center. So again, unproven guys, but pieces to build around on that offensive line. And I loved the year that I got to work with Ryan Clanton. It was one of my favorite coach interviews that I did last year, digging into his past and being at Oregon and what he brought to the table. But Rick Nelson, coming back this year, hearing from the players themselves, he's brought a different kind of energy. We're not going to compare and contrast, but a different kind of energy that they're really buying into. And Coach Nelson put a bunch of All-Americans on the board in his first stint here just after 2000 and that long run that he had with Coach Farley as a former Panther himself. So there's a lot of confidence in what he can do to shape this offensive line. But you're absolutely right. You can't look at it with a combined 26 starts among all the guys and most of those coming from Jared Penning and say, oh, yeah, that's going to be the strongest unit on the field. But there is the makings of a unit that can go out there and prove themselves, and they want to go do that.
All right, my gut feeling, and Steen and I were talking extensively before we got on the air today, he's leaning more towards he thinks that the experience with the O-line or with Iowa State is going to be beneficial. I think it's going to come down to a touchdown, come down to a field goal. With that being said, tell me about the senior kicker, Matt Cook. Was he voted captain, one of the captains? Did I hear that correctly?
He was voted one of the captains, and you're right in like having a double take there. That doesn't happen very often. To have a specialist be a guy that the rest of the team is rallying around. But Matt Cook, you talk to him for a minute. I just did. He's going to be our player guest on our Mark Farley and Friends Panther Football Podcast next week. I got to sit down with Matt Cook. That's the longest conversation we've had, and it is clear as a bell why his teammates rally around him. He's got a great mental approach to this game. Another kid who's from Cedar Falls, wasn't going to play college football, walked onto this team, and now he's the all-time record holder for the Panthers and the Missouri Valley Football Conference in field goals made, consecutive PATs. He has worked himself into an excellent college football player with a chance to do more when all is said and done at the next level as well. But it is the kind of character that he brings to the table that resonates with him. You can't do an interview with Coach Farley and talk about guys and not hear him bring up Matt Cook at some point. He is one of his favorite players. And you know most coaches aren't going to point to the kicker as the guy who's one of their favorite players. And it is very clear that the headspace that Matt Cook is in and that he occupies with this team is one of the biggest benefits that he brings. And he's got a tremendous leg, so that's saying something.
There's more times in 75% of collegiate football that the coach doesn't even know his kicker's name because he doesn't want to know his kicker's name. Once again, we're talking to J.W. Cox. He is the director of broadcasting and voice of the UNI Panthers. You know, when we sit back and we take a look at this, you know, we kind of dive in and we're, you know, we both went defensive line, offensive line. What people listening to the show want to know, who are we looking to for the UNI Panthers at the skilled positions on offense that are going to try to go against that Iowa State defense?
Well, it's going to start with number 82, Sergio Morency. His connection with B.O. Day last year got to an elite level by the end of the year. And it was a situation where, turns out, when Theo had transferred in here, Sergio was a young guy, and they were actually two of the guys that got together and basically were just playing catch, even away from the practice, the official practice time. They created a bond. You go into last year, Sergio wasn't very high on the depth chart, but Theo goes to his coaches and says, I trust this guy. I believe in this guy. He can get it done for us. And you look at the production of what Sergio did in the last five games of last season, and also the production that then Theo Day had in the last five games and the passing game as a whole. And a lot of it starts there with Sergio Morency. Now, he's got speed. He is a deep threat when he wakes up in the morning. But what he has done this offseason is try to make himself an even more well-rounded wide receiver. And a lot of indications are he has done exactly that. So it's not just, oh, Sergio's going to line up wide, bombs away, here we go. Yes, that will happen at some point. But he's going to be a guy who's going to be able to get you those key 7 yards, 12 yards, whatever it might be, to keep some drives alive, move the chains, and keep the Panthers out there on the field.
We're going to take a look here in just a second about some of the other sports that are going on up at UNI during the football season, because sometimes they get overlooked. I did want to go just through a couple other games. When we get past Iowa State, I know we're going to talk to you before these, but I had a couple of people, you know, when you're looking at Weber State and you're looking at Idaho State and you're looking at Youngstown State, besides, and you have Indiana State and South Dakota State, do you play anybody that doesn't have a state in their name? That's your first six games. You know, when you're taking a look at that, because you have to look ahead as well, you know, where's the tough game in that besides South Dakota State? We know that one. Who's the toughest game with those other four that we can look forward to?
I think Weber State is certainly on that list, and we touched on that a little bit last week. That'll be interesting with the home opener and a team from the Big Sky, which the Missouri Valley and the Big Sky have now made themselves into the premier FCS conferences in the country. You talk to Coach Farley, it's not even that close, but he also doesn't want to make them mad, so I'll say it instead. Missouri Valley is still the best. But beyond that, and you get into conference play, I am very intrigued to see what that Youngstown State game is like. There's a lot of people nationally that have looked at what Youngstown has been building over the last couple of years. They have been a power at the FCS 1AA level back in the early 90s, of course, and since then as well. And they think that there are some guys that can turn that into a successful season there for Youngstown State. I'm going to have to see it on the field, to be honest, to buy into that they're better, and some people have picked them higher than the Panthers. And so that's why I want to see that game. I want to see them come into the Dome. What the Panthers have done to that point will be already in ink in the books, and then we'll go head-to-head. But I'm intrigued by, first, that Weber State matchup as the home opener, the first FCS game. But then you look into conference play and opening up against Youngstown State, that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on, and probably a good old-fashioned MVFC football game.
You know, give our listeners, too, a little bit, and I would love to do it, but you know, coming from a UNI Panther, I want to hear it from you. What's it like calling games, big-time football games, in the Dome and listening to that crowd?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing like it. When I ask people about the Dome, and last year trying to get the same gauge, everybody said, first thing is how loud it gets, the environment we get. We have to do our job as a team to be good and have meaningful games, and the people will come. And, yeah, that's the case. From a broadcast standpoint, I love that. I love when the sound, aside from me, can tell the story, right? It's radio, so I still have to, you know, I still have to be there and tell people what's going on. But nothing punctuates a great call better than just raucous noise, whether it's in the McLeod Center for basketball or whether it's in the Dome for football. And the Dome is an absolutely perfect environment for that. And to take you behind the curtain even more, our broadcast location, we're not in a booth. We still call it a booth, but it's not a booth. If anybody's been up there, there's very few booths up there, mine included, and it's just open. It's open to the crowd in front of me. It's open to the other people up in that suite level to my left. It's an environment that just immerses you in college football when the Panthers are rolling. At times, I go back to that South Dakota State game last year, and that was one of the best environments, coming down to a field goal, Panthers taking a lead in the fourth quarter, or tying the game, rather, in the fourth quarter on a CO Day touchdown. The way that building just exploded in that moment, that's what you're always looking for. When you're calling games, when you're attending games, that's the type of environment that you want to see.
How much time do you get prep time? Do you come down Friday night? Do you come down Saturday morning? I mean, you got to acclimate, too. I mean, you're coming to town.
I will come. Yeah, I'll come down with the team on Friday. So I'll ride the bus, and they're staying overnight. They were able to secure some lodgings there. I know in years past it's been kind of a parachute in, parachute out type thing. So the guys should be well rested. Me, I'll show up and call. I mean, my prep work is all the stuff I have to do throughout the week to get ready to go. But man, on game day, I'm not a morning person, guys. Like I would prefer to sleep all day, and it's always been my thing. But on game day, I'm up like a shot, ready to go. And I've been a day ahead all week, so I think I'm already starting to feel it a little bit. So I'll get acclimated real fast, hit the ground. I hear there's no air conditioning in the press box, but
there is not.
Whatever.
I've been up there. It is not.
I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be fine. And we'll get going. It'll be a fantastic game. I just can't wait.
Well, I'll say it from my standpoint, JW. This is what I look forward to. This is our second go-around of having a spot with you. My Tuesdays are an absolute joy to have you on.
Well, I appreciate joining you guys. I love to spread the word. Everybody around here knows that there's not a bigger Panther football advocate for what they're going to do this year than me, and I guess I'm in the right spot to do that as a play-by-play guy. So I'm always happy to talk about the Panthers.
We got about a minute left. Some other sports that are on during football, sometimes they get overlooked. What do we have going on?
Volleyball's got a big tournament. They're going to Creighton. Creighton's hosting a tournament, so they'll face Creighton on the third game of that. Creighton's in the top 20 for volleyball, so it's a big kind of prove-it weekend there. Soccer, they're playing St. Ambrose right now. Soccer's out to an unbeaten start in their first four matches, and that's huge for Coach Bruce Erickson's squad. They went the longest into the MVC tournament that they have in, I don't know, 15, 20 years last year, and they've been able to turn the calendar and bring that momentum with them, so they're off to a great start as well. It's always fun times when you have all those events going on, and this is the time of year for it.
JW, it always we love this. We can't wait for Tuesdays to get here. Thanks for coming in again, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week. A big game with Weber State, a home game, and we'll get to talk about the Iowa State game. Have a great call. We'll be looking for you, and have a good rest of the week.
Sounds good, guys. You too. I appreciate it. Can't wait to see you.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
JW Cox.
I love it. I
do,
I look
too.
Forward to it.
It brings back a lot of memories, and I think that's the reason I enjoy it so much, and he's just that good, and he is a young pup dog.
I was going to say, his talent, his enthusiasm at his – this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Scott and I have a ton of stuff to talk about today. We'll be back right after this break. Happy Tuesday, last segment of this first hour on a Tuesday. Those flow by. JW Cox, want to give him a lot of credit. Young, good, only going to get better. A lot of fun, and a very big fan of the UNI Panthers. So that's exciting. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on X at 1700 The Champ,
Twitter,
at Scott Brower _13, at Steen on Sports. And what did I miss? I don't think I missed anything there. Minnesota Twins and the Guardians. Again tonight, 6 o'clock pregame. So right when our show is over, it will kick right into there. Thursday night, big game, huge game. Florida at Utah. Utah favored at home, even though people have that game picked for Utah, but have Florida go into the national championship round. Tain't going to happen. So we'll see what happens with that, but some really good football. And then we are, what are we? We are still a week and 2 days away from The Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions.
Yes, the NFL season kickoff.
So that's awesome. Yes, you have the you have all the reads today.
I have paperwork that I can hand across to you. So, you know what? I'm going to do the first read, and then we'll fight later.
I don't have my glasses.
Commitments you can... Wow, really? Commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, two in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online to various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgages. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Nice job.
All right. We're not done with college sports. I want to go somewhere.
Okay. Where are we going?
We're going Cade McNamara.
Cade McNamara.
The probable... questionable is what his status is for Saturday's game.
If I'm the Iowa Hawkeyes, I do not play him until he plays Iowa State.
Okay.
I don't want him getting hurt. If they lose Cade McNamara, their season totally changes.
Okay. I am so scratching my head about this as well. There shouldn't be, if he is hurt, but he's medically released. But he's still, I mean, to listen to an interview with him, good Lord. If he could scramble and divert as much as he is with...
Scramble and divert there.
With the questions
no
that he's
wonder
getting.
Kirk Ferentz likes him.
He is from the school of Ferentz when it comes to this, because it's... But the phrase or the word or the terminology that you just... Your eyes roll in the back of your head. You're hearing, soft tissue issue.
Yeah, even with a team that you don't understand... You understand. The team understands. This team they're playing is not any good. You know what makes this team really good? Hey, you know what? How about on Saturday, you know what? They're going to beat us. But how about we put some pressure on Cade McNamara and see if we can hit him and see how healthy he is? No way I want that happening before he plays Iowa State.
Right.
I'm not even sure I want him doing it against Iowa State, because I need him in the Big Ten, because that's what gets me to the Big Ten championship game. Iowa State doesn't matter. Your first game doesn't matter. Your third game against nobody doesn't matter. Winning the Big Ten West is what gets you to the Big Ten championship game. Right. It's all I'd care about.
I think, I mean, and from what I've seen and heard or whatever, it's Labus has not been active in camp as much as Deacon Hill. Yeah. So I still think...
And neither one of those go, man, that's going to save our season.
But here's the deal. And I understand what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, is if he's not 100%, don't put him out there to get hurt even more. But I think for the mindset for the Hawkeyes, you're going to see him come out as a starting quarterback.
I could see that.
Like I said, I hope he comes out for a couple series to everybody go, all is well, all is fine. We're going to have this massively wonderful Hawkeye year. I don't want to see him get popped.
You know, the other reason I don't play him, Iowa State has no tape on him, except for when he's playing at Michigan that actually runs an offense.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. It's a scary, scary thought. It's a scary process. It's not a comforting array of news coming out of Iowa City when it comes to quarterback.
No. Just a couple of potpourri things, just because it is this hour. And I agree with you. That was great. That was great timing there on Cade McNamara, because it's University of Iowa. And nobody's any different. Matt Campbell maneuvers around every single question that he has, as does every other coach out there. Jorge Vilda, the kissing bandit Spanish soccer or football, as they
say.
He was with
FIFA. I thought he was with the higher organization. Spanish.
He was the head of their football organization.
And as the women came through, after the Spanish women's team
won the World Cup,
he yes
planted one on somebody's lips that wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, kissed her on the lips.
It was like a while. He's going to be dismissed, even though his mom's in a church on a hunger strike. And I'm thinking, you know, this dude looks like he's in his 40s, so mom needs to eat. Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No, he's not going to be able to keep his job because nobody's going to play. I mean, here's the really fun thing, not fun. Here's the really bad thing is the men's team isn't going to play. I mean, nobody's playing. If he's anywhere near anything, nobody's playing for Spain. You can't live through that. So, we are in, just to give you a little tidbit here in either it might be the first segment of the second hour or the second. Scott and I are going to compare our first go rounds of fantasy football.
Oh, that'll be segment for next hour. So, okay,
yeah, we're going to do that one.
I just nailed it. I did really good team.
I had that. I was right at that spot that you don't want to be in, like half. I either want to be in the back half and get two quick ones, or be in the front half and get 1 and 20.
Well, let me put it this way. This one was a family and friend one or whatever, and the commissioner, which I don't know how they exactly did it, but I come to find out they did a virtual 100-yard dash, and I won.
Oh,
I'm the oldest person in our league, but I won.
Definitely was virtual.
It was a virtual 100-yard dash. I won, so I had the number one pick, like I told you before, and I will get to it.
Number one pick, that would be?
Of who I got. I got the quarterback I wanted in the fourth round.
Okay, I was going to say, if you said I got the quarterback I wanted with a number one overall pick, I'm going to go, Scotty.
No. But good. I got the quarterback I wanted in the fourth round.
I wanted, too.
It was a very interesting draft, I will say that.
Yeah.
And it also does bring up a lot of and the mindset of you think there's so much talk in the offseason about this person, and they were not even taken.
Yeah, I think what I went through going through this really quick is – if all you were doing was going off of like ESPN or CBS and saying, hey, this is what he's going to, there are so many young people that are going to get more playing time that are really, really good on here's the key, really, really good teams,
right,
that have an opportunity to make a huge, right, huge deal. So, we'll talk about that coming up too. We're going to talk Ryder Cup. I have not yet. I'm going on social media. I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, well, they should have took this guy because he was ranked higher. That's not what you do. Guess what? The top six people get into the Ryder Cup because of how they performed in the last 2 years. The other six people that you pick, if I'm a captain and I do exactly what Zach Johnson did, I'm picking guys that I know can play with different guys, and I got guys who are not, because here's what it's going to be. It's going to be raunchy, rancous, beer-drinking, European folks, and you need to have people that are willing to shoot it right back at him. And I think that's what he did, and I want to get your take on his captain pick, or his captain picks that he had today as well. And we'll do that in the second hour as well, because we're running out of time. But another topic of conversation, just to give a little tease. Does the NFL have a tanking problem? Because the Arizona Cardinals, they went out, you know, they said, you know what, we're not going to have Kyler Murray this year. And so, you know, there's really no reason to have a quarterback that's ever taken a snap or have a win. So we're going to cut him. They didn't trade him. They cut him.
Right. I'm still having a very uncomfortable proverbial taste in my mouth from the tank for 2 years with the Dolphins, and then the aftermath of hey, we're going to pay you know, Brian Flores, to make sure you lose. You can't actually. Are they setting themselves up to not be winners? Yeah. Yes.
Owners aren't going to go against owners anyway, no matter who it is, especially since the one owner nobody liked is already gone.
Right.
So, interesting stuff. It's been a great first hour. Scott and I appreciate you being in. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3, 1700, the Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. hour of this Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Can check us out on X at 1700 Twitter. The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins Guardians again tonight. Big game. Can pick up two games here. Pre-game starts at 6 o'clock Thursday. Huge college football game with Florida and Utah both in the top 25. Big game. Looking forward to seeing that. And because I'm going to tell my parents that Scott's not playing fair, I'm going to read this Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. They provide design, engineer, install, program, and service, HVAC, lighting, and card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and find out about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. Thank you, sir.
I'm surprised you hadn't said anything. Are you sad today?
Why am I sad?
Because the Patriots cut
Bailey Zappe.
Cut Zappe.
Nobody understands why.
But they only have one quarterback right now. They waived everyone.
They have Mac Jones, who they don't like. I mean, what sense does that make?
Let's go back to the discussion we had last Thursday. Is Bill Belichick on the hot seat?
Yes.
I don't think he cares.
No, I don't think he cares as well. Okay. I talked a little bit about this yesterday. I want to get your reaction to this. And since I haven't told you, makes it even more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Circa Sports.
Yes.
Has numbers. They have a betting line on the Iowa Hawkeyes and Brian Ferentz being 25 plus points
okay,
over.
First of all, they can't actually say it that it's a bet like that. You can bet whether or not they are going to do it.
If they're going
to
be over.
But they cannot refer to it as the Brian Ferentz.
No, I'm referring to it as the Brian.
That's fine.
When Circa Sports comes back in and sponsors us, I will be nice. Okay?
Yes, that is a
minus 160 for over 25 points a game, plus 140 for under. What would you bet?
I'm betting the under all day long.
Really? I placed my bet already. I placed
you
the
think
over.
That you think.
Yep.
Okay, do they average it? Can they have one game where they score 70 and averages out, or does every game have to be over 25?
No. It's just he has to average 25 points a game from game 1 through game 12.
And he's not even going to play the full first games. I still go under. They are not going to average over 25 points a game. Did you go over?
Yeah, I took the over.
Really?
Yeah, just because I want to see the under.
Wow.
Just to see it. No, I think that here's the two things I think are going to happen is Iowa's defense is still going to be good. It's not going to be as good as last year's defense. And I think this year's offense, as long as this bet doesn't work, is if Cade McNamara doesn't play every game. Then they're in trouble. Because it's still not a great offense.
You've been listening to Kurt Ferentz say that how much the offensive line has improved.
Yeah, and when they were at a top 25 FCS team. FBS, FCS.
I thought it was FBS.
FBS. And they were in the 300s in offense.
Actually, I thought I saw 267 at one time.
Yeah, you might as well be at 300 when you have Mississippi Valley State Community College was above them. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, I that's a lot of points. Even in a year where things were good offensively, they wouldn't have done that. That's not the style of ball they play. They are grind the clock down. They are a defensive team.
Right.
I mean, maintain the ball, control the ball.
And
that's a touchdown per quarter.
Right. And that is not, folks, that is not Iowa scoring 25 plus a game when they have during the year like four or five interception returns or fumble returns for
No, it's touchdown. Offensive.
This is offensive scoring.
Because I remember when that became part of his clause with it, because it's the 24-7. He had to get more than 24 points, and he had to, what was the other thing? There was something that they called it the 24-7 clause. But anyway, they're going to win. They're going to win a lot of games. There is a very good chance they're going to make it as long as they get McNamara.
Yep.
To where he needs to be. And again, I don't mean to be, I have some cautious optimism, if we use that yes, he's better than what it was. And if the line's better and he's a better, all these different things, this is still an unproven offense, dude.
It is.
I need to see some
against
reassurance.
A different schedule this year, though. That helps them.
Well, yes, the schedule is absolutely conducive to
scoring over 25 points. But like you said, that's a lot. That's 7 points a quarter.
But okay, it's also, look at this, is the style of Kurt Ferentz.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. Yeah,
he doesn't run scores up. He if we get ahead by 7 or 10 or whatever, then he throttles back to slow the game down to win. It's not, all right, okay, we're going to point differential this. Okay, you know what? Let's score 2 more touchdowns. And it's not going to be the offense. If they score 2 more touchdowns, it's going to be the defense in the second half.
And he doesn't run scores up.
No, he
Kirk
doesn't.
Does not do that. And that makes it very difficult. That's why it's such an interesting clause in a contract of your son.
Right, but it's what they had to do. So at the end of the season, he can go, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I got to let you go. So I'm not going to be living in the basement because your mom understands I had nothing to do with that.
And this was a former AD is the one that set it up.
Yep. If you want a compliment for Theo Day, and we want to compliment more than what J.W. Cox has done in his first two shows that he's done with us, Iowa State defensive coordinator John Heacock believes that Theo Day will play in the NFL in the future. That's how
absolutely.
Good he is.
I mean, that's, he is. I mean,
that's a cool thing. I really like that.
Size, the style, everything. There's multiple people that we're going to see something very interesting. Up in Ames on Saturday. I think the question is going to be the line, and we're banging that drum over and over again. But if Theo Day gets the time that he wants, it's going to be a threat.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really do.
But again, there's so many, like you just said.
But he's also throwing against one of the top 5 secondaries in the country, which is
right.
There's so
many unspokens and so many open-ended things to come out of Ames. There's a lot of it's going to be a great game.
I think so. I agree with you. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the Ryder Cup. So Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, and Xander Schauffele made this team because of the top 6 players in the United States automatically make the team.
Yeah,
based on a point system that nobody has any understanding of whatsoever.
Right.
The only thing the point system would make is even if Tiger Woods didn't play in enough tournaments, he was still going to be in the top 6 because that's the only person that we ever cared about that made the Ryder Cup team because we needed him.
Right.
Facetiously.
And then the captain gets 6 picks.
And the captain gets 6 picks.
Who is the current captain, sir?
Zach Johnson.
Zach Johnson.
I love
Why
dearly.
Is that name so familiar? Yes. Is he local?
He might be. He's an Iowa City boy. He took the next one in line was Brooks Koepka. So that throws out that nobody's taken a LIV player. You know what? The only LIV player that wasn't going to be taken was help me out. Name just went blank. The one that nobody likes, and it'll hit me here in just a second. Everybody else, I think, had a legitimate shot. They just didn't play well. Patrick Reed.
Gotcha.
And even though Patrick Reed is,
I think you say Phil Mickelson.
No,
like,
Patrick Reed is really good in the Ryder Cup. Nobody likes him. And you have to have camaraderie in doing this. And that's what Zach Thomas did. He put
together a team.
He put together a team. Brooks Koepka can play with anybody. Jordan Spieth can play with anybody. Colin Morikawa can play with anybody. Sam Burns is going to shock people how well he plays in this Ryder Cup.
Go back. The first one you said was Brooks Koepka.
Yep.
Yes, he can play with anybody, but if anybody out there, the competitive line that this guy has, so I mean, if you're throwing dice in the corner of an alley or you know, baby races or whatever, he is going to be, mine is better than yours. I'm going to beat you no matter what it is. So to put him on your team, that he is a rallying
cry. I think Brooks is either going to play, he's going to play with Max Homa,
yep,
or he's going to play with Brian Harmon, because the areas, and even though that Brian Harmon does six little whatever you call them before he hits every ball and it drives you crazy, what he's good at, Brooks is not good at, and what Brooks is good at, Brian Harmon's not good at.
Right.
That's how you try to find a team that, because Brooks isn't buddy buddies with anybody.
No,
you know,
no,
there's going to be times when Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are going to play together because they played together forever.
Right.
The one that I'm most happy about is that Ricky Fowler is reveling again, and
absolutely,
and I love that part of it. For all the people out there saying that some of these other players should have Keegan Bradley was the one. Keegan Bradley was the one that everybody thought was going to make it, and JT wasn't. And Zach Thomas said, there was no way in the world that I was going to leave JT at home. He's too valuable as an individual taking care of everybody on this team.
Right.
And that's what he does. He's the one guy that doesn't matter if he's playing well or not playing well. He's going to be in people's grills because that's what the European team's going to do. And I don't know what you think of Ryder Cup. It is one of my favorite things in the world to watch. I love it.
It's a different watch from what you're used to watching golf. But no, it was dominated so much for so long by the Europeans, that the fact that we've through the Tiger years and became and had a raucous team that we could be red, white, and blue proud of. This is, I like the youth and I love the ability. And like I said, Koepka to me is he's the bully, and he's going to go out there and you're not going to best him mentally. You better beat him on the course.
You want somebody to go against Rory McIlroy or Victor Hovland, that's the dude that's going to go against him, because
absolutely,
he's going to go, oh yeah, I'll play either one of them, and I don't care.
Exactly.
So I think that's interesting. I think the other biggest story of the day is the Indianapolis Colts not trading Jonathan Taylor. He's still on the PUP list. That's four games. He gets paid his total contract he was on the PUP list with an injury that everybody says is an injury. He can stay on the PUP list all year and make every bit of his money and then be out on a contract year to do that. I like the Indianapolis Colts, but their owner is just a couple of steps below Daniel Snyder sometimes. Wow. On some of the dumb things that he does. And this was one. He's like, this is a guy. And this is what is, I mean, here's the owner of your team. Well, Jonathan Taylor's not worth this much money. And, you know, it's just, he's never going to get it with us. And then goes out and says, well, if you want Jonathan Taylor, you're going to have to give me a first round draft pick. Dude, you just said he wasn't any good. I was flabbergasted on some of the things. I mean,
well, okay,
it's called poker for a reason. Right. Poker hand, buddy.
Here's the other funny thing, and this goes back to the conversation we've had for quite some time, and you use the C word, collusion.
Yeah. Okay?
But let's talk about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, you know, went through, he wanted this, he thinks he was worth so much, whatever. He wanted $8 million 2 years or even more than that. I thought it was, no, actually $8 million 1 year, so he wanted... Anyway, so,
16 for two.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, math. Okay. But as that being said, one of the teams that looked at him was Miami.
Yep.
And they only offered, what was it, 1 year four, or 1 year like $4 million. It was not. And he said that isn't even a serious offer. This, but that goes to show, like we've talked about, the marquee running back position isn't what it used to be. So Dalvin Cook went, yep, and it wasn't the biggest deal, but it's the deal that was able to put together. So now he's a New York Jet. The same talk was with
Jonathan Taylor.
Yep. Was with Miami again. They're like, we'll look at it. We'll look at it. Again, it wasn't even a serious look in the running back.
No.
So for any team that, quote unquote, yeah, maybe we could put a name behind it, they're fine running the three running back offense. I mean, that's what they're going to do. I mean, there's not, quote unquote, an Emmett Smith, you know, type player in Kansas City. They don't need it.
No, they don't want it. That's not where they want to spend their money. And from the looks of things, they don't want to spend their money with Chris Jones too. And that may be a bigger mistake. I think they wait until right before the season. They sign him to 80% of what he wants.
Right.
Here's the deal. Whichever one comes back first, Nick Bosa or Chris Jones, the other will sign for about the same. And both teams will. I just can't see either one of them sitting out the whole entire year.
No, they're not. This is the same thing. Bosa's going to do the same thing.
He just doesn't want it.
I'm not going to camp. I'm ready. I've got my own regiment. I am a physical specimen in the NFL.
I'm working out with my brother.
I'm doing great, and we're going to come to agreement, and then I will come in and have stats in game one like you've never seen.
Here's something that happened today that I truly did not know was going to happen for sure. Damar Hamlin makes the 53-man roster. What everybody forgets about Damar Hamlin was he wasn't a huge part of the Buffalo Bills football team last year leading up to what happened to him. But the story of Damar Hamlin and everything about Damar Hamlin was one of the reasons that he was on that team.
If you tell me, and don't you use this phrase, if you tell me he's the heartbeat of the team, that is not right.
I was not going to say that.
Okay.
I'm glad that you got that out.
Okay. All right.
Without being called out for it.
Okay.
No, I was surprised. I actually thought that this is what I thought would happen. I thought that they would say, Damar, we want you to take another year. We're gonna hire you onto the football team. We're going to let you go one more year doing that. We're going to help you with your charitable things that you got. And then when you come back and you've had a whole year of recuperation, we'll let it go. And they didn't do that, but they kept him. He played well enough that they kept him.
I think it was smart. I think for obvious reasons, for the team and for morale, it was smart. Look forward to it.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. We're at the drive time right now, so be careful out there, folks. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
Crazy.
Bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. X at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Minnesota Twins and Guardians tonight. Huge game Thursday. Florida, Utah. Can't wait to see that one. I might have to go somewhere and watch that game. That'd be pretty cool to do. You have the read, my friend.
Okay. Just so you know, if you actually look it up, it is still Twitter, not X. It's a symbol.
X.
Right.
X.
But it's not X.
X.
It's SpaceX.
X.
SpaceX. But it's Twitter. Okay. Heritage Building Maintenance.
There you go.
You're showing your age. You're diving into it.
X.
It's still Twitter. Okay. Heritage Building Maintenance provides peace of mind in protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners in science-proven microbial control, provide an advanced level to janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in their science-proven program can be rest assured that they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and their science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to them or one of their dedicated team members at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance.
Would you like a football story or talk a little bit? We're going to do both, but which one would you like to do first?
Right.
A football story or talking about Class 5A in football?
Well, what are you looking at my notes?
No.
Okay. Well, let's go over to high school football.
Okay. A little bit of a change in the high school 5A football this week. after the Southeast Polk and West Des Moines Valley game, which was a very good game on WHO 13. A very good job on a very warm night.
Southeast Polk 24, Valley 18.
Yeah. It was a good game.
Yes.
The number one team in Class 5A, they've been there before, maybe a couple of times this week.
West Des Moines Dowling?
Yep, West Des Moines Dowling. They showed, this is when Coach Wilson's really scary. When no one's talking about him, they have experience, and they have a running back room, and they have an offensive line room. And they ran for almost 400 yards against
Rashad Davis had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, against a really good Kennedy team. So West Des Moines Dowling is number one. Southeast Polk is number two. Ankeny number three. Johnston number four. Waukee number five. West Des Moines Valley with a loss.
With a loss.
Is still six. Which is interesting because if that would have been a loss in that close a game and it was at Southeast Polk, I understand that. That was at home. I think I would have punished them a little bit more, but that's just me. So the top six teams in 5A are all from this side of the state. Then 7, 8, 9, 10 is Marion Lynmar, Cedar Rapids Prairie, Bentendorf, and Davenport West.
Well, 10th is actually in a tie with Iowa City West.
With Iowa City West, yes. Who both had big wins. So, interesting stuff. That is going to be Dowling Southeast Polk is going to be, that's a lot of talent on that football field.
This one stood out more for me with 4A. Yeah. And I'll let you get down to your path. So, it's Council Bluffs Lewis is first, tied with Eldridge, North Scott, Cedar Rapids Xavier, and Norwalk, tied for third. Adel ADM, Epworth Western 6, tied with Glenwood at 6, Indianola and North Polk are, and to round out the top 10, Des Moines North.
Yes.
At 1-0. Love that.
Another win. That's a big deal. You found somebody that wanted to take pride in running the North program, and I love that. And it's exciting when stuff like that happens. It's funny though when you read off those 4A teams, it's just, I mean, I'm old. I understand that. I'm 57 years old. So when I was in high school, we had 3A, 2A, and 1A, and that was it.
Right.
And now you 5A. I understand 5A, but right. 4A, I would have never thought that you would have some of those teams would be at a 4A level. A 4A level is in this state, compared to other states, is still pretty high.
Right.
And it's really good football with really talented kids. And I think a lot of that, because I think a lot of this in baseball as well, it is getting away from the big city teams and the 57 kids who go out for right. baseball or basketball and getting into a spot where, because I think there's a change coming, and the change is coming back to, hey, you need to play as many sports as you can play and enjoy them and not just...
That is funny you would say that, because my wife and I were just talking about that. They were referring to this quarterback. He was a college pitcher, and he's known for his... I mean, a lot of these high-end successful guys
right.
were multiple... I mean, look at some of your linemen and your running backs. They were wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And made them really good linemen because of being wrestlers. Yep.
And it takes two to do this. It's not, see, and everybody always, for the singular outlook and going, people always blame parents. It's also coaches of other sports too, because when you're trying to enhance yourself in one and maybe you miss a thing here or you miss a thing there, that's the death knell. Well, if you're going to miss things, you can't be on this team. You have to have it both ways. So parents need to back off a little bit. Kids need to understand how important it is for practice. Coming from me, that's really funny because you know how much I love practice.
Okay, the one that got me, though, is because you had Ankeny against Ankeny Centennial. Yeah. Ankeny won 39-38.
In the last 10 seconds of the game.
Do you consider that an upset?
Never.
Or was that?
Never. Okay. Not with those, no. That's no matter the year, no matter the time, Dowling Valley – if one would have beat the other, it wouldn't have mattered, Scott. It just, that's the it's a huge game. That's a huge game for Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. You know who has that new game just like that as well? You throw it out when it's Waukee and Waukee Northwest right. as well. And here's another one. If you have grandkids out there, I guarantee you within the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to have Johnston and whoever's going to be Johnston 2, whatever they're going to name them. Right. You're going to have two schools from there. And here's the really funny one. There is going to be a time where the boys association is going to have to make a decision on something. And you know what that decision is? Dowling Catholic's not going to be big enough to play in 5A. Their enrollment, they are on the precipice of dropping below. Someone like Dallas Center Grimes or somebody like that is going to have more students, and they're going to you can't drop Dowling Catholic down a class.
So you're going to have to
reclassify.
They are number one in class 5A.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take them just because they don't have as many students.
That's how classifications are. That's why some of these schools moved up to 4A, and some of those schools moved from 4A to 5A was because of their numbers. You would have to make a special exemption for that to happen.
Oh, and that I think they will. I think there was also teams that were numbers wise classified to be 4A, got moved down to 3A because of competitiveness.
Right. Which people in program as well. Which you can do.
Right.
And their numbers, their school numbers were up, but their athletic numbers were not.
That's the reason they got to drop down. You look at program numbers for Dowling,
But they're going to drop below the classification.
There is always going to be a concession to maintain Dowling for the foreseeable future.
No,
at the highest level, because
I agree.
The aftermath of hey, we're 4A champions. So, you didn't have enough kids. No, unforeseen future.
It puts both associations in difficult spots because that's what they do. It's interesting that I agree with you that it's not going to happen, but I think it's interesting in what the numbers were.
A couple other games that popped out for me. Roosevelt 42, Lincoln 32. Bet you that was a good game.
Yep.
Gilbert 14, Dallas Center Grimes 12. Sounded like a battle there.
And that a defensive battle, which I did not think was going to happen between those two teams.
Waukee Northwest, because Johnson beat Waukee Northwest 23-17. Waukee 35, Ames 7.
Yeah. And Ames doesn't have down years very often. And you know what Ames is dealing with right now? How big and how good Gilbert is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I know.
That's a thing.
The line is Tapajalo Road on the north side, and there's a lot of big houses and a lot of people north.
Even though facilities are good in both places, facilities are new in Gilbert. For some reason.
Let me just tell you this.
Is it towards a major college town? I don't know.
My sister is a teacher and has been for decades in the Gilbert School District, and let's just say north of the line, there's a lot of coaches. There's a lot of professors. There's a lot of people that go to Gilbert, and the tax base has definitely changed over the last 20 years.
Yes, it has. So I wanted to get this one out because if you ever wondered, we've said this out loud on the radio. People have said it out loud everywhere. Is Bill Belichick on the hot seat? And Bill Belichick came out with a little speech that he gave, he doesn't give very many speeches. He said that Bill Belichick says teams that overspend can't sustain long-term success, and it'll come back to bite them. He says the Rams and Buccaneers are currently dealing with the consequences of overspending. You can't sustain 20 years of success that we sustained by overspending every year without having to eventually pay those bills and play with a lesser team. I think if you look at the teams that have done that, they're kind of some of them. This is kind of where some of them ended up. Jacksonville back in 2014 is going through the same thing that the Rams went through. He goes, you can't sustain 20 years of success and do all this. he had 20 years of success because Tom Brady was with him. And since Tom Brady hasn't been there, he's like, well, we're not going to go out and spend money because you can't sustain it. Dude, you're not winning football games. You're not going to have a choice. I love that when people and you know what people said about it? Well, you know, that's Bill speaking the truth. No, that's Bill speaking Bill, and you guys love him so much and are
right.
so
just
scared of him
just eating it up.
That you can't call a spade a spade.
Okay.
Bill, you don't have a quarterback anymore. That's what you should have said. If you don't have a high-end quarterback, you can't overspend and be sustainable.
There's only so much winning residue that Robert Kraft is going to be okay with.
Yep,
it's still, he still feels, you know, he walks past the trophies and goes, you know what, that's not too long ago. That's not too long ago. Pretty soon he's like, that was a long time ago.
Yes.
What are we doing here? Do I think Bill Belichick is on the hot seat? Absolutely.
I do too. And you think the Amway guy cares about the money he was spending because you know what he has? He has a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you think, let's see, that's that guy who was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You think Paul Glazier, a multi-billionaire, right. went, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have brought Tom Brady here to win me another Super Bowl. No, he didn't say that. He goes, and I had to bring in people for him. Yeah, and you won a Super Bowl. Are you okay? Yep. And Bill, you haven't made the playoffs. And when you did, you got blown out.
Right. And it seems to be our gravitation also is we're going away from that singular owner, that Jerry Jones, that Robert Kraft. It's an investment group.
Right.
That has a big name.
That's coming. And a big investment group is coming.
Right. I mean, we're already going through that with the group that bought the Commanders.
Right.
With Tom Brady being a part of the group that bought the Raiders.
Yes.
That owns the Raiders, right? I mean, it's as you look at the Broncos as well, that's not just.
That's Amazon money.
No, that's Walmart money.
That's Walmart money.
Amazon money is everywhere, dude. But no, it is interesting the way, you know, because what was it? Al Davis was known as the owner of the Oakland Raiders, right?
Yep.
But that's become a group, if you will.
Right.
You know,
because he didn't leave his sons enough money to be able to actually run an NFL program anymore.
But still, the
Tom Brady looks happy on the sidelines too.
Right.
Hey.
But the sheer value of these. I mean, there were teams that were $800 million. Now they're multi-billion dollar teams.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing about the NFL. And when you have an owner like Irsay in Indianapolis going, yeah, I'm not paying a running back any money because he's not worth it.
Right.
But then when he's on the open market, he goes, yeah, oh, yeah, you need to give me a first-round draft pick for him. Well, you just said he's not worth it. And he goes, well, he's not worth it to me, but he's worth it to you. I couldn't be an owner to speak out of both sides of my mouth.
All right. I know I'm gonna start going down this because I know you, and we won't have a chance to talk about it, but I want to have a little discussion about it. And there's the music. I want to find out who your first pick, who is your first pick, who's your happiest pick in a fantasy lineup last night.
And you have yours as well. That's this last segment, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I have another one coming up. I have my work one coming up as well.
I do too.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700. Scott and I appreciate you being in today. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out at 1700 the Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _13, and at Scott Brower. At Happy Hour Sports.
_SS.
Yes.
At Happy Hour _SS.
SS. And then you are at Scott Brower _13. Sorry.
Yes.
Mix the two of them together.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Minnesota Twins Guardians tonight. Huge game. We also have Florida, Utah tomorrow night. Can't wait for that one as well. We want to thank, Broadlawns, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, and Northwest Bank for being a part of the program.
We are working on a read with Broadlawns.
Yes, we
Bolder,
are.
Better, brighter.
We know someone in the marketing department. He's supposed to be getting that done. So let's see how he does. Okay. So you had your first draft like a week ago.
No, had it Sunday night.
Sunday night. Oh, this past Sunday night.
Just this last past Sunday night. Got another one coming up this Sunday.
So you asked me. I can tell you who my first pick was, and then I'm kind of all over the place on. But who was your first pick?
Because
I
the virtual 100-yard dash. I got the very first pick, and we talked about it. I asked you about it. Should I go McCaffrey or should I go Justin Jefferson?
Yep.
And actually going down the path of what it was and doing some research, it was 100% Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely. The
last 3 years, he has been, far as production in fantasy football, he's been one of the top producers of points, so he was a no-brainer for me.
I was in the 8th spot out of 10, and I needed a wide receiver, and I've now became a Miami Dolphins fan because I had Tyreek Hill.
Really?
Yes.
That was not a good move. I'm trying to see here. I have one.
I think you
Dolphin
could be the
on my team.
You could be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and Tyreek Hill is going to make some money.
Yeah, he is. I have one Dolphin on my team, and that would be on my bench with the quarterback of Tua Tagovailoa.
Really, he's your bench guy.
Well, I'm a little unorthodox when it comes to the last few rounds because I kind of like to have a little trading stock for later on. My son thinks I'm completely out of my mind, but so. Do you feel – I will give you my running back core, my running back one, my running back two. I've got Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns. Pretty excited about that. And Najee Harris for the Steelers.
And I have Jahmyr Gibbs with the Lions and Kenneth Walker III with Seattle.
Okay. Wide receiver core, I've got Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, and then I always
– in your tight end.
Nope.
So wide receiver.
Wide receiver, tight end, excuse me, and I butchered the name on this, it's David Njoku.
Yep.
Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
He was one more toward the end of my picks, but.
I have Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, and George Kittle.
Ooh. My wife got Kittle. I was pretty happy for her on that one. She got David Montgomery, too. I think that's going to be a good one for her.
Who's your flex?
My flex, I actually have the running back from the Kansas City Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco.
Nice one.
Yes, very happy about that.
I have J.K. Dobbins.
Ooh,
and your starting quarterback is?
Who do you think it is? Come on. I was so excited because this is what and why I win the league. I have Trevor Lawrence.
There you go. And this is why I'm glad he's back. I have Lamar Jackson.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have.
That's not often you take the team you like and then you take the quarterback.
But I don't like. I also don't like rooting for other quarterbacks when I have him. So this way I get a root. This way I get a root for my team. Who's your backup quarterback?
Well, see, there's the funny.
Oh, you have Tua. You just said you have Tua.
Well, I got more than that.
Wow.
Because that's where everybody's like, and I'm looking at somebody is going to have a quarterback that they expected and is going to be absolute trash. I've got Tua, but I also grabbed Aaron Rodgers.
Really? Well, see, Aaron Rodgers, he must have been – Aaron Rodgers was way down. I think Nana was trying to get him in the 9th round.
Well, I think I grabbed him as one of my last two, and I'm thought, you know what, somebody's going to need a quarterback. Because, I mean, I will pick one of the two to be my one bye week or whatever. I also think to myself, it better be within the first 8 games because I'm kind of worried about these guys 9 through the rest with Rodgers and
my backup, Jared Goff.
You didn't, far as our starting, you forgot two things.
Okay.
Who's your defense? Do you play in a league where you play a defense?
Yep. Pittsburgh Steelers are my defense.
I actually got the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep. I missed it by one. You know, and I wanted the Steelers or I wanted the 49ers. I wanted one of those two, sack-wise.
Right.
Really, really good. Who's your kicker?
Well, you're going to like this. Justin Tucker?
Me too.
That's for the Baltimore Ravens. He was number one.
One of my ones. So I was 8, and then, then you had to wait. So when I think it was in the 3rd round, 4th round, where I was going down and coming back, and I had picks within 4 of each other.
Yep.
I was the first one to take a kicker. I'm like, I'm taking the best kicker right now, and that's what I did. Who are you most happy about on your bench?
See, I've got Brandon Cooks.
See, I think that's a good pickup. I have Zay Flowers for the Ravens.
But my thing is on my bench, and I also have Michael Gallup. So I've got two wide receivers from Dallas on my bench. Again, I've tried to get the right guys to use maybe later to, if I.
I thought you were sucking up to T.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. By the way, he showed me he got a new Blackstone for tailgating. You guys are, I'm thinking fajitas. Make sure you tell him fajitas.
What do you want for breakfast? Oh, man. I know. He goes, what do you want for tailgate? I'm like,
Bloody Mary's.
Breakfast. And it's like, that means I'm going to have to buy a Blackstone. Either you buy one or I'm buying one. We're probably awesome. Both still going to buy. I picked a Hawkeye. I have Sam Laporta on my bench at tight end. I was pretty excited about that because he was way down there because he's a rookie. He's going to be good. Jared Goff's going to love him.
Right.
So your number, the person who had the number one pick in the draft?
Was me.
Was you.
Yes.
When did Patrick Mahomes get picked in your 10? Did he get picked in the top 10?
Oh, heavens no.
Really?
This league is so heavy. You go wide receiver, maybe a running back, and it was the third round that even anybody towards the end sniffed a quarterback. I got my quarterback fourth round.
Yep. So I waited on mine as well.
But I did have, my tight end on my bench is Tyler Higbee. I feel pretty good about that one for being on the bench as well.
Yeah. And I have, I think my sleeper, and I got him late. I got Kadarius Toney. He's questionable because he might not play for a couple of weeks. But, man, when that guy plays for the Chiefs, he's amazing.
Well, and it's interesting because your names that where is it as I look here? No, it would be on my wife's team. She got Lazard.
Yep.
As, like, a late pick.
Yep, somebody. My wife might have picked Lazard late, too, or she was mad because somebody else did.
Right.
My iffy one, but could be really, really good if you listen to the tea leaves, I got Sky Moore from KC because Patrick Mahomes has been talking about him. That, I don't know. It was hard trying to get. I mean, I only have. How many running backs you have?
I have four.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I feel pretty good about it. I've got the next one comes up on Sunday. I don't know where my draft pick is, but that's with all the guys down at Francie's. We do that one. That one I told you is we usually do a $20 entry fee. The commissioner said this year it's going to be your golden tea machine. I said no, it's not. Because he really wants my golden tea machine.
We bumped our work one up to 75.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
We've got it.
The girls in our league wanted to bump it up to 75.
Well, ours is just the 20, and then you do the if there's trades, it's a fee, this, and this, but then 100% payback on how it goes. But
there you go.
I really want to get into the ones where we have a golf, you know, with the Francie's guys. Okay, we're going to do this. The guy who is in last place, you have to wear the dress when we do a golf outing or something like that. Those fun things. Have you seen the ones where guys they're in a muumuu next to the highway or whatever, holding the sign up says I got last in.
I love it.
Yeah. There's also the one that every year the last in these really guys who get into these fantasy football is you have to get the loser trophy tattooed on your body. I don't think I'm down to be in that league, but anyway, it's
I'm in the no needle league.
No needle league.
No way, no how.
All right. So we talked about.
Okay. So
go ahead. No, you go.
So tomorrow we have 30 seconds.
Oh, good Lord.
We're gonna jump into college. College football, huge college football games coming up.
Right.
Kind of go through and talk about them and then hold off until Thursday to put some picks out there, maybe our top five picks for college football, but kind of talk through them tomorrow, seeing some of these games. And I thought our conversation for Iowa State, you and I, was really good, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, too, to see – what people are going to do with Circus Sports with that 25+.
I want to make sure we talk a little CIML football as well because, boy, things are changing.
Yes.
So let's talk. We'll talk about matchups for this weekend as
Perfect.
Well.
Perfect. I love it. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, Broad Lawns. We love all of them. We're glad they're with us. We will see you tomorrow.